sitting down. Yeah, you'd have a table.
Yud Gimel Kislev, Friday the 5th of December, Rabbi Yehuda Brody, Collective Guilt. Collective guilt.
One can well imagine the headlines in the newspapers the day after. The day after what? So let's share with you two psukim of this week's header. Vayiba Yom HaShlishi. Was on the third day. We know the story that Shechem ben Hamor had taken a fancy to Dinah, and they'd been persuaded that the whole city should do bris milah. That's the positive. Vayiba Yom HaShlishi b'yosem kayavim. Vayiku shnei v'nei Yaakov Shimon v'Levi achei Dinah ish karboi. Shimon and Levi, the brothers of Dinah, each took their sword. Vayavayu aloir, they came against the city Betach, where the Betach means that the city felt secure, or they felt secure. Vayagu comes off, and they killed all the males. It's Chamor v'Shechem b'nai Hogu l'fi Chorev, and they killed Chamor and his son l'fi Chorev. Vayikhu es Dinah b'bei Shechem v'yitzeyu. They took Dinah from the house of Shechem v'yitzeyu, and they left. As one can well imagine, right, when thousands of rockets fall down on Eretz Yisrael, and there's some sort of response, it's always considered by the press totally out of proportion, and that there's a doctrine of proportionality. One's got to meet force with force, but it's got to have some bearing to what you are receiving, and we can never justify that doctrine, apparently. So I can well imagine, therefore, at the end of this incident, when the press got hold of it, the sort of headlines, the banner headlines which would have appeared the next day, Jews guilty of genocide, and they're looting and marauding and pillaging the city, a total lack of proportionality. Yes, maybe kill Shechem, maybe Chamor, burn down the houses, but to take a whole city out, all the males of the city, for the sin of one person, Mehechatesa. And the emes is, so the headlines that we're usually used to have a very sinister agenda behind them, but these headlines are not totally unjustified. Because the emes, Yaakov Avinu himself, was none too enamored by the actions of Shimon and Levi, and as we know, there's a posuk a few lines further, that Yaakov speaks to Shimon and to Levi, Achartem Oisi, you've stirred up trouble for me, Lahabisheni, Beyoshev Oretz, to give me a bad name, to give me a bad reputation. Yaakov himself said that Jews are not going to come out of this very, very much smelling of roses, because the reaction of killing out a whole city just direct to rescue Dinah, especially when it had been done by way of subterfuge, where the people had felt that they were doing something which they'd had a pact, and they were having common ground between them, and to do it in that way, and really, Yaakov himself wasn't too pleased. If Yaakov wasn't too pleased, one can well imagine that the BBC and CNN wouldn't have been that pleased either. It behoves us to understand a little bit of what exactly was the motivation of Shimon and Levi, and for that matter, why Yaakov Avinu was not of a like mind. That's not a modern-day question, but that's a question where we can go back to the Rishonim, because the Rishonim themselves were troubled by what exactly was going on here, and how Shimon Levi could possibly take into their hands and take a decision which they did not discuss with their father, and that's one of the titles on Shimon Levi. If they were going to do something as dramatic and as daring as this, the least they should have done was discuss it with Yaakov Avinu. Maybe the reason that they didn't is they knew exactly what his answer would be. They knew the mahalach of Yaakov Avinu, and we'll see, Tucker, when we learn some of the rationale behind this, they may well have known that had they asked the Shaila, then the answer would have been that they're not allowed to do it. The starting point is the Rambam. As we all know, we've got Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, that means that although the Torah specifically speaks to Klal Yisrael, but there are seven mitzvahs in the Torah which are relevant for mankind in general, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to the world at large, and Hashem was mitzvah B'nai Noach, seven mitzvahs. It says the Rambam, as you know, one of them is Gezel. So the Rambam says, Ben Noach Chayiv ala Gezel. Someone who's a Ben Noach, a human being, is Chayiv for Gezel, and Behemoth is a very, very chumridika halacha, because we all know that although for Klal Yisrael, in order to be Chayiv Misa, you need Hasor, a guy is Chayiv Misa on all the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. That means there are things which, if we were to do them, then Gezel is certainly not Chayiv Misa. A guy who steals is Chayav Misa, not more than that. We have shiurim. You've got to steal a certain amount, at least a pruta. A guy who takes a paperclip from the office, where he has no permission to do it, or he decides he's going to post his own private letter through the office, and he takes an envelope, and the koshkeh, he takes a stamp, right? It's chayim gezel, and you don't need any hasor, and he's chayim misa for that, right? It's a very, very strong halacha, right? We can understand that with aroyas, maybe, understand that with shvichas dovim, that someone should be chayim misa for stealing a paperclip is quite a difficult thing to understand. But says the Rambam, benoyeh chayim ala gezel, echad hagoynev, and it makes absolutely no difference whether what you're stealing is money or something which has a monetary value, or whether one is guilty of kidnapping. Right? We already know that kidnapping is one of the aseres hadibros, but even that it makes no difference as far as the ben noyak is concerned, whether it's money that he steals or whether it's nefoshes that he steals. He's been over on one of the shiva mitzvahs b'nei noyak, and as we said, for the shiva mitzvahs b'nei noyak, there's no malchus and there's no monetary payments. It's all chiyuv misa. It's an emela. According to the Rambam, we don't have a problem why Shechem himself was guilty of a death penalty, because Shechem had captured Dinah. He'd taken Dinah by force, and therefore he'd been over on the issue of Gezel. And emela, for him, the problem isn't so difficult why they felt that Shechem should be put to death. But that doesn't account for Chamayah, and it certainly doesn't account for the whole city. It says the Rambam that one of the Zion mitzvahs is dinim. What does dinim mean? And we'll see there's going to be a machlokes. He's showing him exactly what dinim means. But the way Rambam learns it, the Rambam says there are six mitzvahs and the seventh one is dinim. What does that mean? Where a goy is mechuyev to keep sheish mitzvahs b'nei noyach, but on top of that, overriding over those vav mitzvahs, there's also an obligation on the b'nei noyach to make sure that these laws are kept to, and that there is din v'cheshbon if you don't keep to them. That means there's got to be a system of courts, same way as we've got a chiyuv to set up courts, shoytim v'shoytim titel l'chom v'chon shoveko. One of the shiva mitzvahs b'nei noyach is that non-Jews are obliged to set up courts, that's called dinim, in order to enforce the other vav mitzvahs. Says the Rambam, chayavim l'hoshiv dayanim, the non-Jews, the b'nei noyach, are obligated to appoint judges, Lodun Bavav Mitzvah, to judge people if they fall short in any of the other six mitzvahs b'nei noyach, and they transgress any of those mitzvahs. Meizeh, says Rambam, nischaivu ad shishchem. That is, Rambam just puts it in by the way. It's a little bit unusual for the Rambam to go into drush in the middle of his sefer, but he takes the opportunity and he says, Meizeh, nischaivu ad shishchem. That, because of that, that's why all the people in Shechem were chayev harigah. Why? Shari Shechem gozel. Admittedly, Shechem was the only one who was guilty of the actual aveiro of gezela, which we've already learned that according to the Rambam, gozel nefoshes is chayev misa when it comes to a ben noyach. But they saw it and they condoned it, but lo danu, and they didn't take him to justice. The Rambam holds, therefore, and it's a little bit of an interesting Rambam, because after all, Shechem was the son of Chamayah, who was a leader, right? So how the people would have been able to bring him to justice is something which the Mephoshim do talk about. The Chura is like the court bringing the queen to justice. She is on top of the court, how that would have happened. But nevertheless, says the Rambam, that is what was going wrong here. There was one individual chait, Shechem ben Chamayah. For that he gets Misa because he's been over on Gezel, but the rest of the city had an obligation, again under the heading of Zion, which has been a dire, to have judged him, to do din, and they didn't do that. They allowed this action to take place without any comeback, without any trial, without any verdict, and without any key of Misa, which is what they would have given, and therefore, says the Rambam, for that, the whole town was Chayim Misa. Comes along the Rambam, and he asks two questions on the Rambam. One is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin. We're not going to go into the Gemara now, but the Gemara, according to certainly the way we have the Gersa, maybe the Rambam didn't have the Gersa quite the way we have it, but certainly Ramban asks and says as follows, that it's very, very clear that although we've just established a principle that Vav Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach are all Chayim Misa, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin makes it very clear that's only Bekum Va'aseh. You've got to do an act of commission. You've got to do something positive. If you do something positive, an act, a Misa, then the response of the Halacha is that the person is Chayim Misa. Here, as we've already explained, according to the Rambam, there wasn't a positive action. Forget it was an act of omission. They should have brought Shechem to din, and they failed to bring Shechem to din. It says the Ramban that like, you may have breached one of the Shiva mitzvahs b'nei noach, according to the way the Rambam learns that dinim means you've got to bring people to court, and there's got to be a response. You can't just get away with things. There's got to be a din. But for that, says the Ramban, you will never ever be chayav misa because you've not done a positive act, you've not done an act of commission. That's the first kasha which the Ramban asks on the Shittas of Rambam, that the chayav misa for here Shechem was because they failed to bring Shechem to justice. So on that the Ram gives an answer. It's an answer, I'm going to call it Shmeret Teretz. I wouldn't take the responsibility, but those who bring the Ram use that expression, and it's a difficult Teretz. And the Ram says like this, Eino Chinami, they didn't judge, and for not judging alone, there would never have been a Chiyah Misa. But not judging brings with it the corollary that they condoned it. In other words, by not judging, they said, yeah, what you've done is correct. Had it not been correct, we would have brought you to justice. So the fact they condoned it, that already is more of a positive action. It's not just a failure to do something, but it may not be an activity, but it's certainly something positive to condone it, to approve it, to allow it to happen. And says the Ram, that is already sufficient, the Shittas Rambam, to be considered something positive, and therefore it doesn't matter that they didn't do an actual action. Condoning alone is considered something positive, which in itself is an interesting idea, and it's quite something we ought to sometimes take on board, that we see something which we don't approve of. Right, it's Sheval Tasa. Go to the Ran, if it's done in a way in which it can be interpreted that you've condoned it, that's already considered a positive action, so much so that it would be Chayav Misa if it was a guy who did that and didn't bring someone to justice.
If the Maaser Dina had not occurred, would they have acted the same way or not?
To that town?
Yes.
Why should they have done?
Because you say they're
high visa. For stealing dino and doing nothing about it. According to the Rambam, that's quite clear. They would have done nothing. We'll see in a moment that they may have done, but according to the Rambam, it's a response to the kidnap of dino, which merited that Shechem gets put to death for the acts of Avera, and the rest of the city for not having reacted to it and fulfilled the mitzvah of dinim, and failure to fulfill the mitzvah of dinim, brings with it a chiyah misa. That's the first question which the Rambam asked. The second question which the Ramban asks is, okay, so we've built up a nice shtickel Torah now. The Ramban brings up a nice shtickel Torah, but this one is Chayav Misa for Gezel, the city of Chayav Misa for Dinim, but the Yaakov Avinu also has to keep the Ramban, right? And therefore, it begs the question, if you've justified the actions of Shimon and Levi to such an extent that they were acting within the halacha, as the Ramban puts it down, then you raise with that a question of Behechatesa, therefore, Yaakov Avinu was also an observant Jew, right? And he also should keep the Ramban. What was his objection? It comes along the Radvaz, and the Radvaz says an interesting thing. Don't jump on me because we'll come to the kashas, which will be on the tip of your tongue in a moment. Right? But says the Radvaz as follows. The way we normally learn the psukim is that this milah, which was carried out by the city of Shechem at the request of Shimon Velevi, was really nothing more than hasorat ha'orla. Right? They said that it's not nice for us, we're B'nai Noyah, we are Gemalot, and to allow Dina to marry into a nation, into a family, where the orla is still intact, that's something which is not retarded, it's not the sort of shidduch that we're used to making. Is Rimela, remove your orla and things will be fine. And what do they do? For some amazing reason, right, the Bani Musa speak about this, they all listen, right, and they all remove their orlas, they all do a bris, and that's it. It's a cosmetic reaction, right? It's not done the Shem Mitzvah, it's purely cosmetic, it'll be a much shanner shidduch, right? The Dina ends up with a Gemalata, in a city where they're all Gemalot, rather than with an Olah. Says the Rambam, no, he says, it's a lot more that was going on here. When they said that it's not nice that our sister should marry into Avraelim, it means you're not Jews. Jews have Bris Milah, and therefore we want you to be Megayah, and Milah is one of the items, one of the activities which has to take place, but as part of the process of Gerus, is we made it that Gerus was a chelek at least, but it was a full chelek, or at least a part of a chelek of the process of Bris Milah, and therefore they became Gerim. So in a nutshell, what Shimon Velevi was saying is, we're not allowing our Dina to marry out. You want to have Dina, you've all got to become Jews. Not only the Chusin Alayim, and not only the Mechitim, right, but the Ganser Shtok. We're not marrying into a city of of goyim, yeah, and therefore do gerus. Says the Radvaz, that's what Yaakov Avinu was very, very annoyed about. You can't have it both ways. You want them to become gerim, as everyone knows, is ger, is ketinuk, shenoylad, dobi. Then you start a new beginning. So what are you going to do? You're going to turn them all into gerim. And the ketinuk, shenoylad, dobi, they've now become yidin. And then you're going to hold them account for not having done din on Shechem. You can't have it both ways. If they're yidin, it's a new fresh start. All the guys, whether a guy should do teshuva, the things which he did while he was a guy, something which the poskim speak about, they do recommend it, but certainly not by Misa anymore. You become a Beri Hadash, you become a Tiluk Shinoilad, and therefore, says Radvaz, that's what Yaakov said, it's not fair. Mimonavsha, right? You want them to become Eden, you can't then wipe them out for things which they did when they were in a different existence, a different Gilgal. Now they become Ketiluk Shinoilad Dom. What did Shimon Levi say? So here, Moshe Weiss in Midrash Oshem says that this goes back to a very basic machlokes in the Poshes Drachim of what exactly was the status of Am Yisrael Kodem Matan Torah. It's Shimon Malevi held that they were still B'nai Noach. It wasn't Shaykh the Musig of Geirus. And I know Avraham Avinu was Megaya, but when he says Avraham Avinu was Megaya, it doesn't mean he made them into Eden. He made them into believers in a Kodesh Baruch. But says the Moshe Weiss that those who held that we had a dinner B'nai Noach, then you can't be Megaya to become a Ben Noach, and you are automatically a Ben Noach. After Matan Torah, when we became B'nai Yisrael, when we became Am Hashem, then it's Shaykh the Musig of Geirus. We made them then. So according to them, there was no gavos, right? It was just a device for making them weak so that they would be able to wipe them out. If that was a basic machlokes in halacha, here's what exactly went on. Yaakov Avinu said, you've turned them into gavim, how dare you wipe them out? They're innocent because they start again. It's a fresh start when you become a ger. And they said, no, there's no such thing as gavos, because anyway, we're B'nai Noach. We're not at this stage in our history B'nai Yisrael yet, and therefore there is no concept. It really comes out a very sweet thing. Because Yaakov Avinu says a little later on, "Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon vel Levi, achad lemoisi yikros mikrois tzoris, lahavisheni v'yoshev aretz." To give me a bad name amongst Yoshev aretz. The brings of Moshe Weiss as follows, that Yaakov Avinu, there was a big question mark on Yaakov Avinu. How come he married two sisters? How come he married two sisters? You're not allowed. If Yaakov Avinu's parents was, I was Megaya them, right? And since I was Megaya them, so then it's Ketinik Shadayla, that takes away their relationship, and I'm allowed to marry. You have now come along and said there's no such thing as Gavers. That was your justification for wiping out the whole of Shechem. If there's no justification for Gavers, then there's no justification for me having married two sisters. You've given me a bad name. I was supposed to be Yaakov Avinu, the upholder of Teretz Hashem, and I was relying on the fact that I had a good Teretz, a good get out of Gavers. You've now publicly announced by wiping out Shechem that there is no such thing as Gavers at this stage in our history as we met. You've given me a bad name in the eyes of the people. It says, I state in Radvaz. It doesn't need me to say that this needs a little bit of understanding. First of all, as I said before, the clear reading of the psukim does not suggest to us for one moment that a program of gerus was going on here. That's not what they said. They said that it's just a busha for us, right? The notion of the pasuk is, it's a busha for us, chelpa hilonu, right? It's a shame for us. What we'll be happy with is if you do Milan, then we can marry into you. That's number one. And number two, that's everyone knows, as I said before, the Gaius is made up of a number of stages. One of the stages is Enoch and Ami may be Milan, but there's certainly an Indian up to Milan, right? Nowhere do we learn that they dug a mikveh here and that they carried out some sort of a process of Tevila. Is Milan without Tevila? Lechura does not create the situation of Tiluk Shinoila to Dami. Is a mirror, that's a Shmerazach on the Radvaz of how you can possibly say that the process here was one of Gaelus and that's what it was all about, and that therefore is behind the machlokes between Yaakov and Shimon Velevi. Yeah. It's just before we take a leave the shitter of the Rambam, right, one has to understand one final thing. And that is, as we said before, how could the people of Shechem, what could they have done? After all, as we said, it was their leader and his son, Shechem, Hamor and Shechem, they could hardly have brought them to justice. What could they have done? Someone would have got up right the next day in the parliament and said, Shechem and Hamor, Chai Misa, no one would have listened. There's an answer which is brought, right, that's where the title of collective guilt comes from, and that is an interesting concept. Again, now is not the time to go into it, an interesting concept, and that is whether a person is responsible for something which he himself cannot have done, but collectively we could have all achieved it, right? In the Konami, if one MK would have got up in the Shechem Parliament and said, we've got to bring these guys to justice, it would have been gone. But if the whole city would have been in uproar, that how you talking, the Shechem and Chabad, and we could, the whole city maybe could have achieved something. Is that alone the collective responsibility for that to be enough? To be Mikhail the Misa, that's a jurisprudential point, that's a halakhic point, which I'll leave with you. However, that's something which we have to consider, even with this text of the Rambam, that they were Mikhail Misa for not doing anything. What could they have done? The answer is they couldn't. No one himself could have done, but together, maybe they would have been able to achieve something.
Even if they couldn't achieve it, they still had a duty to protest.
Yeah, but I don't think the protest alone would have been enough, because the Shiva Mitzvah Vinei Noach is dinim. You've got to bring them to trial, and bring them to court, and judge them, and sentence them, and kill them. It's not just a question of a protest. It could be that the way we said before, that condoning it was the problem, so the protest would have taken away the condoning. That could be. Yeah. Is Umeila, that's Adkan Divrei HaRambam. The Rambam, in his Perush Al HaTorah, also asks this kasha, and the Rambam says something which is a lot simpler in a way, and that's as follows, and maybe this is what you were referring to before, Mr. Kaufman. And he says that the killing of Shechem and Chamor and the city had nothing to do with this particular Maisa. These people in Shechem, the city of Shechem was well known as a city of lowlife, of people who were over on Avodah Zarah and on Gidei Erois, and Shvichas Damim, they had long been a troubled spot in the eyes of Yaakov Avinu and his children. Here was an opportunity now. They had an opportunity to bring them to justice and to wipe them out for having been over on several, if not all, of the Shiva Mitzvahs of Vinei Noach. It was an opportune moment. Right? They'd wanted to do it for a long time. Now they had an opportunity with a trick, with a milah, right? And therefore they could wipe them out. But in Ekonami, says the Ramban, it had nothing to do with the particular Maisa. It was not a response to, as an Oynish, for the particular Maisa of having kidnapped Dina. And the Meshech Chochma brings an interesting, what was Yaakov? Yaakov said, it's not your business, right? The Meshech Chochma is Medayik Apostlik. Says, if Yata Horo Mikir Becho, yeah, within Klal Yisrael, if you've got something which is ra, then we have a responsibility, we have a collective responsibility, and that we have to make sure that Klal Yisrael behave in an appropriate manner. But that's Mikir Becho, that's within our own community. Says Yaakov Avinu, you're going to put the whole world right, we're not God's policemen, that's not our job. And we may know there was again a very interesting machlokes, right? Whichever way you learn about it, there's an interesting machlokes between Shimon and Levi and their father of exactly how one responds to evil within society around. The Shimon and Levi felt that this was a spot, an area on God's world where Hashem's rotzim was not being fulfilled, wipe her out. And Yaakov Avinu said, you know, that's not the job of Klal Yisrael. That's not the job of the Jew. It's Adkan Divrei Horishonim, the Rambam and the Ramban. But the Meforshim, right, the Achronim, and even a bit more recently than that, right, all consider and suggest opinions as to why exactly Shimon Belevi should have acted in such a disproportionate way. It's the Chiddush Harim, there's a Moedik Chiddush, it's so Moedik that it's very hard to understand exactly what the Chiddush Harim meant, if he really meant it in quite such a literal way. And he says like as follows. We all know, right, this is well known, that we have a din, Goy Sheshovas Chayv Misa, right? A guy who keeps Shabbos, for the sake of Shabbos, is Chayav Misa. It's a whole deal. Those of us who are involved in Geirus, right, how you work this out. A Geir, on the one hand, is supposed to be practicing to become a Yid, which Havala means Shmira Shabbos, and on the other hand, Goyish Shabbos, Chayav Misa. I certainly don't want to go into the controversy about the Erev, and how that possibly could be used to solve that sort of issue. Kalila, for me to say anything of that nature, right, but this is a problem, right? We all know Goyish Shabbos is Chayav Misa. He says the Chiddush Harim as follows. Why is that? So he says because Mila is an ice. It is an ice. Because Shabbat is an ice between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's something very personal. It's a bris. It's part of something very personal between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. This is a symbol. The Jew who keeps Shabbat is a symbol of the relationship of the bris which exists, the covenant which exists between Khan Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and anyone who interferes with that very, very personal, intimate relationship which exists on Shabbos between Khan Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chai Misa for that, you're mixed into something which is not your geshäft. Says the Kiddush over here, but we all know that Milo is also an ice. Milo is also something which should not be used or abused by Goyim. And here, since they did Milo, and they didn't do the Milo the Shem gave us, but they did the Milo for whatever reason it was, so it's again an abuse of an ice, there's the Kiddush Yerim, for that Yechayim Misa, right? The Moedek Kiddush coming out from the Kiddush Yerim, that a guy who does Milo, not as the process of Gavus, but he does it for whatever reason, right, is the same as Goy Shabbat, he's using ice. Is the Mephashim all ask, it would come out there for a Kiddush, right, that guy who puts on tefillin, which is also nice, is Chaimisa. No one has ever heard that a guy puts on tefillin. We've heard Goy Shabbat, we've heard about a guy who learns Torah, can be guilty of serious thing. Right? But to say that a guy who does any of the ices, it means a guy puts on tefillin, right? It means that those who are studying in the public places, right, and making sure that people put on tefillin, which is very creditable work, they've got to make sure they're putting him on a yeast. If they're putting him on a guy, all they've done is they've given him something which is a death sentence. Right? It's a Vela, a Gemalik Kiddush from the Kiddush Yerim, that a guy who does one of the ices, that should be responsible.
But they told them to do it.
No, so maybe you have to learn that chat was that they held them against him, so it would be more to that. May go with that argument. That's what the Kiddush Yerim said, it's a Gemalik Kapella, that they should be Chayim Misa for that. When they were told to do it, anything else? Yeah. Is our Chayim HaKadosh comes along and says that the Emeth were not Chayim Misa. The only person who was Chayim Misa was Shechem, but they were protecting Shechem. And therefore, in order to get to Shechem, they had no choice, but they had to kill them because they were standing in the way of their ability to kill Shechem. Maybe that's very meduyik in the pasuk there, Chayim HaKadosh. Because Be'emes, whichever way you learn, it was Chamayr and Shechem who were the real culprits here, and the rest, for whatever reason, had to be killed. And nevertheless, the way it's learned in the pasuk, first of all, they killed off the rest of the city, and only then Chamayr and Shechem. So they're Chayim HaKadosh because they were protecting them, that's why they were put to death. Let me just finish with the prophetic words of Rav Shimshon HaFoel Hirsch. Shimshon HaFoel Hirsch is quite magic here, and he says as follows. He says, and this is a machlokes, a political machlokes, which unfortunately we're going through at the moment, halakha machlokes, but certainly a political machlokes, and that is, what is the response when Jewish blood is spilled? Hirsch speaks very, very strongly in the defense of Shimon Belevi that Avada HaKol Kol Yaakov, our way is to be peace-loving, to learn Torah, we're not Yadai Bidei Esav, says Hirsch, but there is a time where we've got to demonstrate to the world that Jewish blood is not cheap. The Jewish daughters are not Hefker. And when Shimon Belevi saw that Dina had been captured, they felt this hit a nerve, and they said, if we do nothing now, the message which we're going to give out to the world is that you can chaper with Eden, and nothing happens, you can rain down rockets, you can do what you want, Khalila, much worse things, and the Jew is a peace-loving Jew, and he does nothing, and the message will go out, that why is he like that? Not because he is peace-loving, because he's weak, and he's schwach. So, says Hirsch, Shimon Belevi felt it was their responsibility, Yaakov Avinu looked at it from a different way, right? The doves and the hawks. This has always been the two ways of looking at things. But they looked at it from, we've got to teach the world a lesson once and for all, you don't shepherd with Yidin, as we take Shmi Zaycha to a period where we don't have to resort to this sort of thing, where Hakod and Yaakov, where we should be able, as we're doing this morning, to learn Torah, and not to have to respond to attacks on Klal Yisrael.